here in the Unified Church. My name is Barbara Park, and I'm the president of the group. Obviously, this is an intergenerational program today. We've got all the kids up here, and kids helped plan this and are participating in it. It's going to be a really fun morning, I think. I'm glad to see everybody here who's in town. I think a lot of people are out of town, and I see people in town like Anna, who normally isn't so welcome. At Thanksgiving, we always get a real mixture of people who are gone and people who are here. Randy Thomas is going to light the candle this morning.
Today's service promised to be a potpourri of thoughts and truths about giving thanks. In that context, I'd like to light the chalice in honor of Unitarian Universalism. In today's world, there are many religions and ethnic groups who inflict much suffering on the world because they think they have a corner on the market of truth. I see Unitarian Universalism as a beacon of light where multiple truths are utilized by all of us as individuals search for our own rules of the road. So to begin our journey of thanks together, we're going to sing hymn number 83, For All the Gifts of Life, and Carl will come. Carl will accompany us on piano in hymn number 83.
Thank you.
it's nice of Wisconsin to stay a little bit nice for you too. Other joys, Mike.
Yeah, Wednesday I found out that the kind of cancer I have is what is the best we could have hoped for. And started chemotherapy on Thursday, and it's working fast. Because my doctor said this is a fast growing type of tumor, and my doctor was saying the faster they grow, the harder they fall. It's just melting away like butter in a hot oven. I'm grateful for the medicine I received to my life. It just seems to me that I haven't realized for a long time, including the expressway fender I had yesterday. When I was about to spin who knows where, but the fellow on this side kept me on track. I made the airport ticket. I said, you're just in time for plenty of place.
Anyone else? Any of the kids have joys or sorrows they want to share with us? There's a kid for you.
Yes, due to Milwaukee potentially, and visited our foster granddaughter and her three delightful charming kids, the 2.5-year-old that never stopped running all day long. He runs at you and hugs you all the time. It was great.
My grandma was very sick, but she's doing a little bit better, so hopefully she'll be back to her. I want to know
about that. Oh, I just wanted to introduce my grandchildren, Zena and Bailey, who have been downstairs sometimes, but it's nice to have them.
Oh, we're glad to have you with us.
I'm going to be in the Nutcracker on December 13th and December 20th at the 2 o'clock show. If you're in the snow.
I'm happy to be here. I haven't been here for a long time. Although I'm in the building a lot because I affiliated with Sierra Shemaya, and really very it just brings me back to my roots. It's really been a wonderful experience. And if any of you ever want to come to the service, it's very welcoming. I'm going to have to leave a little early today. That's unfortunate. I won't be able to talk to you, so I'm going to a yoga class.
Good. We're very glad
to
have you. Can come One of the joys of our week was seeing Eric and Joseph the other day. That was a lot of fun. And Pippin too, right? Joseph was last Sunday, which was quite good. Any others? Okay, Terry's going to read us a story. The kids want to come. Let's see, where are you going to go?
Okay, this book is called Molly Pilgrim by Barbara Coleman, illustrated by Michael J. Geary. Let me know if you can hear me. I'll try it well. I didn't like the school in Winter Hill. In Winter Hill, they laughed at me. Elizabeth laughed most of all. I never raised my hand to answer a question, but when Miss Stickley called on me, I had to say something. My English wasn't perfect yet, so Elizabeth always giggled at whatever I said. Miss Stickley would stare at her, and then she'd shut up. But later, in the schoolyard, she'd say, "You talk funny, Molly. You look funny, Molly." And then she'd sing a song. "Jolly Molly, your eyes are awfully small. Jolly Molly, your nose is awfully tall." One day, Elizabeth and Hilda followed halfway home, singing a terrible song. "Jolly Molly, your eyes are awfully small. Jolly Molly, your nose is awfully tall." I started to run. When I got to our apartment, I burst into tears. It was all right. I can cry in front of my mother. She put her arms around me. I leaned my head against her chest. She felt like a big, soft cushion. Shane kicked my, "What's the matter?" she asked. My mother didn't speak much English. She talked to me in Yiddish. "Mama, let's go back to New York City," I said. "In this third grade, there aren't any other Jewish children. I don't talk like the other girls. They make fun of me. I hate going to school." "Oy, Malinka," Mama said, "we can't go back to New York City. In New York, Papa had to work in a factory. We had to live in a poor tenement house. Here in Winter Hill, Papa has a good job in Mr. Brodsky's store downstairs. And Mr. Brodsky lets us sleep up here in this nice apartment." Then one day in November, during reading, Miss Pickley said, "Open your books to page 132. It was a new story. I liked it when we started a new story. "You may begin, Molly," Miss Pickley said. I looked at the title. I shook my head. "Miss Pickley," I said, "I don't know that word." "It's a hard word, Molly," Miss Pickley said, "especially if you haven't heard it, seen it before. Who can tell Molly what this word is?" Stepohan shut. Miss Pickley called on Elizabeth. "Thanksgiving," she announced, tossing her long black curls. "I thought everyone knew that." "Thanksgiving," I repeated. "Thanksgiving? What's Thanksgiving?" Elizabeth snorted. "You don't even know what Thanksgiving? Well, Thanksgiving? I guess the people don't celebrate American holidays." Miss Pickley ignored Elizabeth. "The story will explain the word, Molly," she said to me. "Go ahead, start reading." I read the three sentences. I didn't stumble over any more words. Then Miss Pickley told Arthur to read. We took turns. It was a good story. It was about the pilgrims and how they started the holiday of Thanksgiving. I had never heard of pilgrims before. "Now, children," Miss Pickley said when the reading lesson was over, "I'm tired of decorating the room with paper turkeys and paper pumpkins every Thanksgiving. I thought it would be fun to do something different this year." She pointed to the sand table at the back of the room. It had stood empty since September. "We'll make a model of the Pilgrim Village at Plymouth, Massachusetts, celebrating the first Thanksgiving." She sounded excited. "We'll make the houses and the church here at school. But I want you to make the people at home. You can make dolls out of clothespins. The boys can make Indians, and the girls can make pilgrims." Her eyes moved from one face to another. "If you sit in row 1, 2, or 3, make a woman. If you sit in row 4, 5, or 6, make a man." I was set in row 2. I had to make a pilgrim woman. When I got home, Mama said to me, just like always, "No, Shinsuke, do you have any homework?" "I need a clothespin," I said. "A clothespin? What kind of homework is a clothespin?" "I have to make a doll out of it. A pilgrim doll." Mama frowned. "No, Malinka, what's a pilgrim?" I searched for the word to explain pilgrim to Mama. "Pilgrims came to this country from the other side," I said. "Like us," Mama said. That was true. "They came for religious freedom," I added. "They came so that they could worship God as they pleased." Mama's eyes lit up. She seemed to understand. "Do you have any other homework?" she asked. "Yes," I said. "I have 10 arithmetic problems. They are hard." "Do them," she said, "and then go out to play. I'll make the doll for you. I'll make it tonight. It'll be ready for you in the morning." The next morning, when I sat down at the table for breakfast, the doll was at my plate. Maybe she started out as a clothespin, but you've never known at the look of her. Mama had covered the clothespin with cloth and stuffing. "She's gorgeous, Mama," I managed to murmur. Mama smiled, satisfied. "But Mama," I added slowly, "she doesn't look like the pilgrim woman in the picture in my reading book." "No," Mama said. "She looks like you in that photograph you had that was taken when you were a little girl." Mama's smile turned into a laugh. "Of course, I did that on purpose." "You did, Mama? Why?" "What's a pilgrim, Shinkit?" Mama asked. "A pilgrim is someone who came here from the other side to find freedom. That's me, Molly. I'm a pilgrim." I was sure there was something wrong with what Mama was saying. She was not the kind of pilgrim that Stickley or the reading book had been talking about. But it was too late to make another doll now. All I could do was take the only one I had to school with me. Most of the dolls were out on the desk. I had carried mine in a little paper bag. I put it inside my desk without even taking it out of the bag. I opened the desk and took out the paper bag. I closed the desk and set the bag on top. Slowly, I pulled out the doll. Oh my goodness, what's the size? How can anyone be as dumb as you, Jolly Molly? That's not Pilgrim. Miss Stickley is going to be really mad at you. Miss Stickley is going to get you this time. After morning exercises, Miss Stickley began to walk around the room, just as Elizabeth had. She looked at each one of the dolls. Why, Michael, what a magnificent headdress. Where did you find so many feathers? Sally, she's lovely. Such an interesting face. Such beautiful gray silk, Elizabeth. Yours is a very rich silk. I think she's the best so far, Elizabeth said. Well, she's very good, Miss Stickley allowed. Then Miss Stickley came to me. Without looking up, I pulled my doll out of the desk. I heard Elizabeth laugh out loud. My goodness, Molly, she cried. That's not a pilgrim. That's some Russian or Polish person. What does a person like that have to do with pilgrims? She's very beautiful, Miss Stickley said. Perhaps Molly just didn't understand. I looked up at Miss Stickley. Mama said, I began. Elizabeth giggled again. Miss Stickley put her hand on my shoulder. Tell me what your mama said, Molly. This doll is just like Mama, I explained slowly. Mama came to America for religious freedom, too. Mama said she's a pilgrim. Elizabeth hooted. She wasn't the only one. Miss Stickley marched up to the front of the room. She turned and faced the class. Listen to me, Elizabeth, she said in a loud voice. Listen to me, all of you. Molly's mother is a pilgrim. She's a modern pilgrim. She came here just like the pilgrims long ago so she could worship God in her own way in peace and freedom. Miss Stickley stared at Elizabeth. Elizabeth, do you know where the pilgrims got the idea for Thanksgiving? They just thought it up, Miss Stickley, Elizabeth said. No, Elizabeth, Miss Stickley replied. They read it in the Bible about the Jewish harvest holiday of Tabernacles. I knew that holiday. We call it Sukkot. Miss Stickley was still talking. The pilgrims got the idea for Thanksgiving from Jews like Molly and her mama. She marched down the aisle to my desk. May I have your doll for a while, Molly? Sure, I said. I'm going to put this beautiful doll in my desk. Miss Stickley announced. Everyone can see it all the time. It will remind us that pilgrims are still coming to America. She smiled at me. I'd like to meet your mama, Molly. Please ask her to come see me one day after school. Your doll is the most beautiful, Molly, Emma said. Emma sat next to me. Your doll is the most beautiful one of all. I nodded. Yes, I said, I know. I decided if Miss Stickley actually invited her, it was all right for Mama to come to school. I decided something else, too. I decided it takes all kinds of pilgrims to make a Thanksgiving.
Okay. One, right up here.
venture into the program part of our service together now. It's going to be in two parts. The first part is about pilgrims. The second part is about food, two very traditional things we associate with Thanksgiving. Well, Robin's going to lead us in part one, which is about the pilgrims. And the pilgrims make part of our contact in the comparison with the Prairie Bond of Union.
Let's face it, pilgrims are no longer politically correct. They lived a long time ago. They're very stern, severe people, living in a very stern, severe time. They dressed funny, they talked funny, and after scoring a wonderful public relations coup with that Indian dinner thing, things really went downhill. They're not known for treating women very well, they're not known for treating the environment very well, they're not known for treating the original inhabitants of the country very well. A good friend of mine grew up in a Protestant family, and he was kind of aware of all the trials and tribulations that go along with that kind of upbringing. And when people at college used to come up to him or come to us and brag that their ancestors came over on the Mayflower, my friend's stock response was, "Oh, so you come from a long line of religious fanatics." It's also true that the pilgrims weren't, and it's probably no surprise to anybody here, the pilgrims weren't quite as virtuous or chaste or modest as they've been represented in the past. One of the things I did as a graduate student in history was I worked as a research assistant for an American historian, and his field was really the mating habits of colonial Americans in America. And hopefully without offending another people here, I just wanted to say what some of the conclusions he came up with. One of the most startling conclusions he came up with was the fact that fully one-third of pregnancies that occurred in colonial New England, in his little corner of it anyway, were what they call premarital. Okay, and I think the best spin that you could put on that kind of fact is that these were people who were so much in the favor of God that they didn't have to wait the customary 9 months after marriage to receive the blessing of offspring.
They weren't allowed to dance and play cards. They had nothing else to do.
And it was cold. And they had this strange ritual called bundling before marriage. But something else I learned in studying history is that even though the people probably aren't as good as perhaps they've been portrayed in the past, they're not as evil also. And it's probably a mistake. It's usually wrong to condescend to people in the past, to think that they were somehow dumber than us, or somehow meaner than us, or somehow more evil with us. And sometimes we learn more about them, and we also learn more about themselves about when we think about the things that connected them with us. The pilgrims that came here over 350 years ago were probably made of similar stuff as we are, and they were just struggling under different circumstances. And this occurred to me as I was preparing for this program, and I was going through Thanksgiving books and looking at poems and rituals and things like that, and I came across a reproduction of the original Mayflower compact. And what I did is I photocopied it on one side, and the other side you have a Prairie Bond of Union. So you might just want to look at the two next to each other and think about the kind of things that unite us, that make us similar to those people, even though we feel, in some ways, not very close to them. The thing that I came up with, and then I'll just leave it open for you to discuss if you like, is that both documents are concerned with the basic human desire to live in a community that protects and provides. Also, the desire to have other people bear witness to our lives, and also the desire to connect to something that we think is greater than ourselves. And that, I believe, as it was over 350 years ago, is something that's worth celebrating and something that's worth being thankful for. Thank you. Does anybody have any comments or anything, any observations?
Who bankrolled the operation? I don't know the answer.
Well, no, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
Mayflower expedition?
I don't know. I can't say.
London capitalists who hope to get a big return on their investment. They didn't succeed. But the Pilgrims were there as part of growing world capitalism, and here we are, growing world capitalism. I hope you do.
They were indentured servants.
A lot of them. Actually, it's a fairly small percentage of people that on the Mayflower who were actually.
Signatory to the contract.
Well, yeah. What am I looking for? That religious group. And there were a lot of people who came along because they were indentured servants to them or
employees of those capitalists. So that was my understanding.
I heard that the reason they were called indentured servants was that they had to knock their teeth out to get on the boat. Sorry.
I wonder if we might read this compact. We've read the Bond of Union many times, and maybe we can get on the boat, unless that takes so much time.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
Would you like me to read it?
Sure.
Okay. Together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of
God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread Sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, etc.
It's only with Roger Williams that a movement developed
for religious freedom for all and separation of church and state. And today we have a movement by the religious right to declare that America is a Christian nation, going back to the old pilgrims of insisting we have the right answer and you have to conform to our beliefs.
Point of correction, George? I think before Rod Williams founded Rhode Island, there was a colony in Maryland that was all Catholic and they were colonists.
Mm-hmm. On that note, the choir is going to honor us with a selection.
The choir and supplement.
Yes.
Quite a few voices in the choir. Choir, not us.
Thank you.
Native Americans have been ways of giving thanks. Today we're going to participate in one form of their giving thanks, namely prayer. This is called the Prayer of the Great Family, which I'm told is a Mohawk Thanksgiving prayer. What we're going to do is each of our leaders will recite a verse, and when they're done with their particular verse, the rest of us will respond with this: in our minds, so be it. We won't worry about that. That's a technicality. We won't worry about that.
Leaders stand up.
Yes, please, leaders stand up. And you can keep that.
Who goes first?
Prayer of the Great Family. Madison to Mother Earth, stand with you night and day, and to the soil, yes, to air and sea, air and mind.
In our minds, so be it.
Some people like changing leaves to find new things. Can be still in the room of the world. They dance in the fullest style of gratitude to the air, bearing, soaring, swift, profound, all at all. Bless them our song, their spirit breathes. Gratitude to wild beasts, our brothers teaching secrets to create us and live. Who share with us the milk, love and food, great. Gratitude to water, flowers, lakes, rivers, nations, holy lands, strewn to all of our resources. Gratitude to the sun, rain, pulsing, light through the trunks of trees, new myths, warming caves, of bare and snake food. He who wakes us. Gratitude all to the great sky, the most brilliant of stars, the most beyond that, beyond all powers and thoughts, and yet within us, grandfather faith, mind and soul.
Now, Kathy is going to lead us in exploring how we can give thanks locally for the food we eat. But when we do this, these activities, please bear in mind that there's a larger global focus to the work about hunger and giving everyone enough to eat. So please think of the global aspects of the work we do together.
Take one and pass it down. This is your...
Thank you. trip. Does anybody still have an empty plate?
Does anybody have an empty plate? What you were doing is advertising you've already done. I knew you were stupid. I knew somehow the plates and food were balanced out. But realistically speaking, that people often think if you talk about there's people hungry, you think of maybe India or Africa or some country where people are very poor and don't have houses and living on the streets. But it's very important to realize that there are people here in Madison, as well as Wisconsin and throughout this country, who are equally hungry, and many people don't necessarily understand, maybe through language, maybe through feeling ashamed or feeling proud, they don't realize the services that are available. So one thing, a lot of things we can do to help people is to help them know what is available, how they can get help, and to try to find ways to do it in such a manner that they feel really comfortable accepting it and feel comfortable at the point in which they're in need, that they do get the services they want. What I'm going to do is, I've got some plates here, and a lot of people in this group have been involved in the community, both children and adults, and I want people to tell ways that they are doing something or have done something in Madison or wherever place they've lived that they think helped people to get food, or if there's people who've been in a situation such as I have at a point in my life where I didn't have any food, and the appreciation I have that people gave me food so I could get by. At one point when I was a child who didn't have any food, my father had a very long illness and didn't work for about a year. And I remember getting those boxes of food and how important those were. And we didn't have any money for about 6 months. So I think many of us have had those kinds of experiences, and we know the mixture of shame and thankfulness and everything that goes together. So I'm going to let people, and anybody who wants to bring up a group, and I'm going to have the kids just take and spread it on the plate to put it up on the wall, so maybe we can think about it relative to the plate. So if anybody wants to start mentioning some orange.
Wisconsin Harvest is a program that takes food mostly from restaurants, caterers and such, also leftover produce from ABA Sweden, a wholesale distributor, for instance, and takes it to meal sites and food pantries. And Wisconsin Harvest has recently become part of the Community Action Coalition. But we're still using volunteer drivers, if you have especially weekday availability, to go once a week and take leftover bread, for instance, from Breadsmith to the food pantry or meal site is very helpful.
I might mention, she did mention food pantry, that just to give you some idea of what is currently in Madison, this is just free meals, food and free meals. There's St. Mark's Lutheran, St. Martin House, Luke House, St. Paul's Chapel, South and East Madison Community Centers, Plymouth Congregational Church, Atwood Community Center, St. Vincent de Paul, Wilmer Neighborhood Center. And those are just the ones that are listed. And there is an annual manual, Guide to Madison. And these are just ones that are either listed in here or that I knew about. So I'm sure that there are many other small organizations that are also providing meals. Mm-hmm. So there are quite a few that are ongoing that you could get connected with.
When Maya was little, she was very little, she was on this formula called Isomil, and then she had to, for medical reasons, we had to switch it to a different formula, and I ended up with two cases of formula, which is like 12 cans of Isomil powder, which, you know, would last, let's see, about 6 weeks for one infant, and I couldn't figure out what to do with it, and I kept forgetting to bring it here for Allied Drive, so I ended up finally donating it to the food drive that Channel 15 is doing right now, and I have to admit, I got these free from my sister, but I figured it was better than them sitting with nobody, having nobody to use it, but I thought that would be a good thing to give, because they probably don't get a whole lot of formula, you know, with their relationship.
Go ahead.
I don't know how many of you know or
new Reverend Ted of the Church of the Helping Hand in Madison.
Well, how many new Reverend Ted? I'm just curious.
Okay.
He was your neighbor.
Reverend Ted founded the Church of the Helping Hand, and Reverend Ted went around Madison giving food to people who needed it. And Reverend Ted helped me quite a bit during 1 week when my son and I ran out of money, and I was, to quote the Madison phrase, between jobs. And so I just like to think a little bit about Reverend Ted, who's no longer here. Good guy, anyway.
Trina.
Okay, well, at my school, they installed a change pad, and so kids during homework, we go around with a bucket, and if kids have any spare change or spare bills, they just throw them in, and the winning class gets a pizza party, so kids are really into competition for a pizza party. Mm-hmm. And so we raised about, well,
one of the classes, we would have a carnival every year, and it would have a theme, and you could bring in non-perishable food, or actually it doesn't have food, and they exchange for tickets to go to the ride, one of the rides, the booths at the carnival, and then that would go to the Salvation Army, and then actually the Humane Society for animals that also don't have anything. Eric, I think you were.
No, I was just.
When you're raising
your hand,
helping
out.
You don't want to do that.
My school has a community service group, and every year we do different activities, and we either raise money or get food for Salvation Army and big tent and stuff like that.
Just a sort of a reminder, I guess, the food pantries in Madison tend to get donations more around the holidays and less other times of the year. I spent about 6 months a number of years back working for Daytona Human Services, and one of the most disturbing calls that I got during that time was from a young woman who had been without food for 2 days, and she had been trying through what she could find some food. And the local food pantry in her neighborhood was completely barren.
Oh, wow.
So, just something to remember when it comes to the June and July and August, that there are still people out there. It's not just during the holidays, it's during the food.
I think that's true. I certainly think that whether it's through media sources or whatever, we do have our consciences more tweaked. Maybe it's the time of year that we're feeling that we have more, so we are more stimulated to be giving. But June and July, people are just as hungry as they are in November, December.
Just a reminder that you have direct connection already with other two of the homeless shelter participation. Big thanks to our recent volunteers, and Michael Sheehy and Kate Tucker. Just last week, we have a Monday and Tuesday night support, Monday and Tuesday, and love to participate there. The experience is more than I can describe. I get fed every time I travel down to the First Church, and it's a group of bodies here. We enable you to go, it's so easy. We share this task with the Sri Shivani community, so it's also a gathering with them. Another big thanks goes, and it takes about $50 a month to support supplies for the homeless shelter. We have continuous fundraising and other social action committees, and you all participate up in Woods to make our book sale a success, $55, which approximately takes care of a month and a half of supplies. There's a lot to do. That's one opportunity for all of you to sign up, shoot out at the home. Just ask us to do that.
Thank you.
One of my former students, Fatima Kali, who's from India, when she graduated, went off to join work for UNICEF. And she eventually became director of UNICEF operations for Southeast Asia, headquartered in Manila. And she was a super administrator, and she was very eloquent about what UNICEF did for children all around the world. And because of the personal connection That's one of my favorite agencies to give money to. But then, of course, the personal connection I was once removed, you can also contribute to your name.
One that was mentioned earlier, someone mentioned Meals on Wheels. And as you know, this is a voluntary delivery service. So and I know a lot of people who are senior people who put a lot of time into working with Meals on Wheels. But it certainly is great because it does help people maintain their independence and be able to stay in their homes a little bit longer when they're at the point where they really can't buy groceries and prepare meals for themselves. And the meals are, I know people that are on them, the meals are generous enough so they also give them not just a meal, but enough snacks and enough food that they can actually make it even through a day or two in between if they're choose to be frugal, which a lot of them do when they don't have a lot of food.
I just like to say a word for the idea of not allowing things to become extreme in the first place. Living moderate lives and not charging everything that the market will bear and not allowing each other to get into extremes of need. Likewise, not allow ourselves to become extremely acquisitive and particularly wealthy is a good thing for our neighbors.
Do you want Google? I will just admit it. Are there any more that muted? And one thing we had, to put up one where I certainly such as Katrina and Clara talked about at school. And I don't know if all of you know that the RE program here at Prairie is the kids do service projects. And if anybody wants to talk about a specific one, anybody wants to mention what's going on right now? Trina?
I think right now we're going to be collecting toiletries and stuff to get to the Ally Drive neighborhood, and that's going to be starting more after the holidays.
It's all now there's a basket of them.
Yeah, and there's a basket for actual things, and then there's also, I think there's a bucket for lunch.
Okay, so we have Ally Drive, and I put RE on with the Ally Drive. And that box, as they said, that box is there year-round by the front door.
I think you can hand it for me.
Go ahead. I'm looking away here.
My plate was empty, and I was sitting when you passed up your place. And Robin turned to me and called me by name and offered me some of what was on his plate. Which prompted me to really think beyond the need. You know, here I am hungry, I haven't eaten for a day or two, and thanks be to something or other, I discover the resources at the food pantry or wherever, and I go and I find some food. Or the instance where we volunteer. How many people here have volunteered at the homeless shelter? Okay, so those people know the experience of going into the room, helping set up the places, noting perhaps that outside of the homeless people were gathering, opening the door, seeing the rush of people coming in, serving the food, maybe eating with the homeless people, and then watching them bed themselves down and realizing that's their home for that night. Not like me, who, when it's all over, I just, you know, say my so long farewells to whoever I helped serve the food, or maybe who I chatted with, the homeless person there at the table, and I get in my car and I drive home. That's where they stay that night. Meanwhile, even though I knew them for a little while that evening, they're still kind of anonymous to me. In fact, very anonymous to me, which is different from what I felt just now. I knew Robin's name. I could say, thank you, Robin. And I felt like not only did he have the goodness of his heart choose to share some of the make-believe food on his pretend plate, and call me by name, too, acknowledge my worth as an individual. He knew my name. I somehow felt almost a sense of belonging, you know, beyond my membership in prayer. And so, I guess what I'd like to offer to the discussion is sort of a suppose or a what if. What if a congregation took it upon itself to occasionally plan an event, and as part of that plan, the members of that congregation sought out the usual attendees at the homeless shelter meal, maybe the night before, or sometime prior to the event in the congregation. And so that at that event, instead of it being, you know, the folks who are the in-group of the congregation, the members of the congregation, or the folks who are who read the paper and kind of feel inclined to come or whatever, maybe the congregation brings guests from the homeless shelter into their meeting house for a meal, and maybe gets to know those homeless people a little bit, and maybe offers them connections beyond the meal for that night. In the interest of perhaps the people who, you know, wear the title homeless somehow becoming more integrated, perhaps into that congregation, perhaps into the broader community. What? Yeah.
I want to mention that in the homeless shelter, sometimes the men coming through will ask for a meal to take with them the next day to their job. So some of these people are fully employed and they just don't make it out to them.
Well, they used to have that at the homeless shelter. There was a, it was set up so that you could help them prepare a lunch to take with them, but that program has, that's not part of the program now. It's a little bit mixed, and part of it is to try to, I think in theory, part of it is to try to encourage that they will use money from work and to try to have them understand the integrated meal somehow with the money they make. But unfortunately, it's just that food system for providing breakfast as well as lunch that isn't there anymore, so I'm sure a lot of people just don't have lunch.
Well, we're giving them food for the next lunch for the night. We wouldn't have the food on the food. We would have breakfast and then we would have them from the night before.
I can't hear you.
That was food from the night before. They would take the lunch the next day. We're not really needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The last time I worked there, that was the day it changed.
It did.
We're thinking also that there's maybe an underlying assumption that it's kind of an us and them, it's us and the homeless. And some of us have been thinking about what are the needs within Prairie, and I think we need to think about what we would do within Prairie. How would we ask if we needed food? Or would we ask if we needed food? Do we have members within, or members or friends of our own organization that sometimes might need some food? That's a very hard thing to do, to ask peers in many cases. So that's just something to keep in mind.
So maybe if we had, I know there's within Madison, there's a phone number, it's called First Call. And people can call that number, and whatever their need is, whether it's shelter, food, protection or safety, if they're in a threatening situation, whatever their need might be, there's actually a phone number called First Call, which is basically a triage and sorting of people to connect them with whatever's available. So it certainly is a possibility that we could have a First Call person or a sign from time to time that if somebody in Prairie had a specific need, no matter what it is, they could have a name that could be listed in the Prairie Fire as a First Call person that could help connect them to the committee.
The caring committee, I think that's
more appropriate. Yeah.
Anyway, well, my position is that it's nice to give to other people if they're hungry. But why do we have to do that? Why don't we make the legislature make jobs so that they have a job, so they don't have to come back? It's ridiculous for all of us to get a good feeling from giving to the poor, hungry people, when we ought to be making the legislature pass laws to give them jobs and housing. There's no excuse for having no housing in this city. They should be building low-income housing for everybody. They should be having Social Security for all the hungry children so that they all have something to eat. And it's our responsibility in the democracy to make sure that the legislature does its job.
I think we're going to have to slow it down.
here. What Randy had mentioned in the beginning, Betty, is we realize what we're talking about is certainly more in the Band-Aid type of category, and we certainly need to be keeping the political community aspect as well as we're not even talking about a national and international scope in lieu of time. But certainly, I do think the first step is if you have first-hand experience with people who are in this situation, that hopefully that makes you want to fight a little bit more for them. If you get on a first name and a one-to-one basis, it makes it more real. I think we're going to carry on this discussion. I think it's
only 10 of 5.
It's only 10 of 5. I think our banner ran out. I wanted to just do a little round to end this.
I thought we were
going to do that. I think she wants to say, well, I hope that we can continue this discussion, and maybe we need to think about having the next step program and talking more about other types of enrollment.
And passing the baskets around for the offering prairie. I hate to break up this discussion, but it's always good to leave them with more thought, although that's the way it always is. Now's the time for, first of all, introduction of any guests that might be with us today. Anybody who would like to introduce themselves or be introduced. Because we're always glad to have people who aren't really guests, like Anna, joining us from Minneapolis. Okay, then, are there any announcements?
Yeah, one thing I should mention in Joy and Sorrows is that Barbara Rains called this morning to ask someone to help do her duty this morning. She has pneumonia. She just got diagnosed yesterday. She's on medication, and so she's hoping she'll be better. But so we might send notes to her in exchange for all the notes she's been sending to us. Dropping off some food.
Yeah,
she usually cooks, doesn't she, for the two of us.
I would keep quantity smaller.
Small quantity.
Yeah.
What's your answer, brother?
Hey, you play meters next Saturday, my place. I'm going to try and get off, so I want people.
Okay, good.
Can
you say that again, please?
Larry, play meters at my place next Saturday. I'm going to try and get some shots, so I want people to show up.
And this is Susan. Okay, I'm going to get
some shots.
7 o'clock at the Hagler's at Hagler's. Reading George Bernard Shaw something. Okay, other announcements. Pat.
Well, I have the guest at your table boxes, and I think a lot of people didn't get them last week or the week before. They do back at Prairie on the 14th. Each family, we hope, would take one of these and deposit something in it each time they sit down at the table to eat. And this is something that the UU Service Committee sponsors to further their human rights program, including hunger in the world, around the world. So please see you to get your box. And I have the parents' box.
Okay, thanks. That's a very appropriate announcement for today's topic.
Okay. I wasn't sure if this was a Joy or Sorrow announcement, so. But anyway, we're looking for babysitters now, especially maybe anybody who could babysit after the service, like on Sunday and stuff like that. So if you have any people that, young people that would like to, maybe we'll let them know. But we lost our, now our babysitters are out in like middle
Good point. Good resources here. Any other announcements? Okay, then we have
The Prairie Men's Group, a group of men that get together and talk every few weeks or so. They're meeting this Thursday at my house.
And you are?
I'm Ken Reinbach. You can
What time is that, Ken?
It's from 7 till 9.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Any other announcements? Okay, we're going to finish with a round.
Good try. I don't know if many people know this. Sarah and I will try to sing it through. Hopefully you know it there.
Read.
I'm talking to you, Lee. Do you know this great planet? Okay, we'll attempt to sing it through, and we'll sing it through, and then everybody sings it through once, and I'm going to divide it up. The men will start, the women will go second, and the children will go last. You may have to have a little help with the children. It sounds really nice if it's done in that sequence. Okay. This pretty planet spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your holy place. Golden sun going down, gentle blue giant spins us around. All through the night, safe till the morning light. Sounds like a lot when you start singing this.
As we sing the song together, we're going to do the loaves and fishes phenomenon. You heard of that? I'm going to pass a little crowd on this side of the room. Yeah, on both sides. I got two loaves.
Front row.
Right.
This is mine.
Yes. your task is make sure that I have something to eat on the other side of the room. That's that when you're done.
You said something about fishes, Randy?
Yeah. No, I just said loaves, right?
This pretty planet, spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your holy place. Golden sun going down, gentle blue giants spin us around. Thank you.
probably get the men out of the women's territory.
Swallow, girl.
Clearly, I'm reading your lips.
Well, we can't read it right now. Okay, Joyce. Okay. Carl will start with the men. Men go first.
Carl, please stand. Amazing man.
And Carol will lead the children, and I'll lead the women.
Women are second off.
This pretty planet spinning through space, your garden, your harbor, your